How many of us know that church is fun? Right? That church is fun, that coming together in the body of Christ, being a part of the kingdom of God, man, we love to have a good time. You say, but Pastor Anna, not every day is fun. But Pastor Anna, you don't know what I'm going through. But Pastor Anna. But God does. And he's faithful, and he's good, and he's true. And he loves to remind us that we're not alone. And that in those moments where we feel that it's just chaos and crazy and confusion is all around, that we're able to come together in the mighty name of Jesus and lift up the name that's above all names, and we're able to get into the Word of God, which is the truth that we cling to, and have fun and enjoy life and know that God is good. How many of us recognize this morning, and maybe we just need to say it together? I want you to say, God is good. Let's say it again. God is good. God is good. And he has a good word for each of us today. He has a word for every season in our life. He has a word for your marriage. He has a word for whatever you're battling. He has a word for your children. He has a word for your emotions. He's got a word if you're struggling with anger, if you're struggling with doubt, if you've been battling confusion. He's got a word if you're sick today. He's got a word if you've been in fear. He's got a word if you felt lost. He's got a word if you've been all alone. God has a word of truth. And this morning, we're going to feast on his word. The title of today's message is called Feast Mode. Feast Mode. How many of us love to feast? Okay, I would like to invite you to my table. I want everyone to look up here. I have a feast at this table. Who loves to have a table filled with all of their favorite foods? Don't you love coming to a place where you're like, oh, okay, I've got one of Pastor Josh's favorite foods up here, a pie. And then how many of us could eat bread all day, every day, and just scoop it in that really good, like, just dark yellow butter? You know what I'm talking about. Butter is good for you, I believe. I eat a lot of butter. Like, any butter, like, you just love butter. Butter is better. Okay. I've got some muffins up here. Oh, a cake. Is this a one-person cake, you think, maybe? I don't know. More muffins, more bread. You know, I just wanted to invite you all to my feast this morning. And so often, when we invite someone to feast with us, we have so many things to share. But today, it's going to look just a little different. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and I really do want an answer. The question that I am posing to you as we turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, is what are you feasting on? What are you feasting on today? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, give me a whoop whoop if you're there. I like it. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is written. Let's break down this verse real quick. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for you and for me. He was led there so that he could combat and come out victorious of every temptation of Satan, so that we too could walk through life victorious. I'm so thankful for Jesus today. So Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, You guys, he was out there for 40 days. Everyone say 40 days. 40. How many days are in a week? You guys are so smart. Wait, what's today? Does anyone even know? Is it? I was like, hold on. Oh, that's right. It is September 1st. I had to remind myself this morning. 40 days. I want you to put that into perspective of how long he was in the wilderness. How many of us, 40 days is a long time to go without food? Yeah? How many of us, one day might be a long time to go without food? Any kids in here? Do you get hungry by 10 a.m. in class? Yeah, you're like 2 hours. I'm busted. He was very hungry. Whenever we read through this passage of Scripture, Jesus was tempted by Satan. Who's the tempter? Oh, maybe we all need to say that again. Who's the tempter?
Satan.
Yeah, we have a real adversary in this world. We've got an enemy, and his name's Satan. There's going to be temptations and things that we come up against in life. There are going to be things that want to steal your joy, that you're walking through, that you need to know what you're feasting on. You need to know, number one, that God does not tempt. You also need to know that Satan's a dirty, filthy liar, and there's no truth found in him. You also need to know that Jesus, he destroyed the works of Satan. That there is power, wonder-working power, right? In the mighty name of Jesus, in the precious blood of the Lamb, there's some things that we got to know that we're only going to know through what? The Word. The Word of God. So the tempter came, and he will come. Some of you, y'all might have been tempted this morning for something on the way to church. Anybody, anyone else that ever happened, you're like, oh my goodness, listen, I'm going to tell you something right now, actually, yesterday. So I at 7:30 in the morning, I had been up all night with over 80 students from this lock-in. We had the best night. Just so much fun. And the hand of God upon every part of it. At the beginning of the week, I said, Lord, I thank you that this week I'm going to enjoy the planning and the preparation, every part of this lock-in. How many of us know that when you've got things that are coming up, even if it's exciting, we still need to invite God to help us enjoy and just embrace it, right? So, no lie, Saturday morning, we finally close everything down. All of the students are gone. All of the volunteers are gone. I have three of my own teenagers sound asleep in my minivan in the parking lot right here. And I get in the van, and I sit there for a moment to decompress. If there are any minivan moms in here, you have decompression moments in your vehicle. Maybe you've got a little SUV, a car, whatever it might be. But for me, that seat is my captain's chair. And I was decompressing in my vehicle. And a part of my decompression time, I've been intentional in thanking the Lord before I move on to something else. I begin to thank him for what he just brought me through. So I was sitting there and I said, Lord, I'm so thankful for this entire lock-in, that everyone was safe and sound and we had so much fun and kids met each other. I was just thanking God out loud. Here comes a truck. And I go, oh my gosh, okay, here comes a kid. Yeah, I see mom and dad back there, they're laughing. Here comes a kid, and I go, okay, what is it? Here she comes, tired, cute as a button. She has lost her cell phone. And I just thanked God that there were no mishaps. Now, I don't know if y'all know this, a lost cell phone to a teenager is devastating. So I go in, we can't find it anywhere. Looking everywhere. I'm texting parents. My brain is not ready to do all of this, but I was like, we're going to do it. So finally, I look at her, I look at dad, and I go, you're going to have to leave this church without your cell phone. I said, but you know what? Jesus has that cell phone. We're going to find it. So I get in the car, and I immediately said, Satan, you're not going to steal the joy of this lock-in with a mishap. God, you have her cell phone. Now you say, well, that's something so little. But you know, it's interesting how something so little could go a long way. It's interesting how something so little just creeps right in to just steal the joy of God's goodness in our life. Of a small mishap, of how it collects and it gathers. And then we have a choice to recognize who the enemy is and the goodness of God. Well, you know what? By yesterday afternoon, I got a message that she found her cell phone. Praise God. I know, like, we're all rejoicing. You're like, well, you know what? Because God's in every detail of what's going on in our lives, with our family, and what he's called us to do. So temptation's going to come to all. Especially when you're hungry or you're sleepy, you know, like in those moments that you just feel weary. In Matthew 4:3, it says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Satan, our adversary, challenged the deity of Jesus with the word if. Many of us are challenged every day by Satan questioning our salvation, our beliefs, our love walk, right? Our love in Christ, whether or not Jesus really is our healer, right? It's what he does. Our purpose on this earth. How many times has Satan questioned your purpose on this earth for the kingdom of God? Satan tempts us to believe that the world has more to offer when Jesus already paid in full everything that we need. Now, what I love so much about Jesus, he recognizes that we need food to eat. He's not trying to take food away from you. Some of you look at this, well, Jesus doesn't want me to have bread. You are missing the entire point of this scripture. Jesus actually loves to feed people. He multiplies food all the time. He takes care of his children. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have the best of the best. But he also recognizes that this is not the source of your joy. This is not the source of your strength. This is not the source of your hope. And how often is this the first thing that we run to or that we think will bring us everything we need? If Jesus didn't want us to have bread, he just kept going hungry. But we know in Matthew 4, it tells us, I believe in verse 11, that the angels came to minister to him, to take care of him. You see, God has a plan, and it's a better plan than what the world has to offer. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, it's a Holy Ghost wake-up call, church, to recognize that when things go hard, I don't need to eat a whole loaf of bread to make me feel better. As a matter of fact, these things just give us small bits of happiness. But this word right here gives us an eternal joy that will last forever. This word right here will come in and transform our children. This word right here is the source of my strength, my hope. It's what I cling to. This word right here will restore your marriage, restore your home, will show you how to give and be blessed. This word right here will take you from the back to the front, will set you on high. This word will set you free from every addiction, from every foul lie of Satan. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who saved us. We have a heavenly Father who created us, who gave us his son Jesus to save us. We have a Holy Ghost to help us. Why would we not want to feast at his table? Every word from the mouth of God. What are you feasting on today? God has a word for you. If we look at this, we recognize I cannot live a victorious life with feasting on bread alone or the things of this world. We thought about on this table not just putting food, but putting all of the things. I would have put how big is our TV, Josh? It's pretty big. Oh, you don't mean to tell anyone? I just got, wow, maybe 70 plus inches. It takes up our entire wall. It's like the whole room, okay? It's the whole room. I thought, man, should I put that on this table? I don't know. But you know, we have these little TVs every day. We have these little things. Also, we have so many substances. Sometimes we just look at those big things. What about the hidden things? Right? The hidden things. What about, I don't know, there's moments where I've feasted at the table of fear. It doesn't taste good, does it? There's moments that I feasted at the table of anger and worry. Woo, it's a bitter taste. Oh, it's a bitter taste. There's moments that I've feasted at the table of lack, and actually there's nothing on that table. It's bare. When the entire time I have a Heavenly Father who has given me everything I need. So our point, our first point, truly is, I can't live. You need to wake up. I need to wake up. That I can't live victorious with feasting on bread alone or the things of this world. Let's let it set in. Oh, I'm going to throw this out there by the Spirit of God. There are some of you that the Holy Spirit has encouraged you to fast some meals for breakthroughs. It's time. He's got a breakthrough for you. It's time. Just say yes. It's time. We combat spiritual forces with what? Something spiritual. It's time. Number two, you share what you're full of. You share what you're full of. What's in my pantry at the Gresham household, you're going to get. Now, everybody loves our pantry because I have four children, and I have this thing of I don't like my pantry to be empty. You guys, I'm going to be real honest. I have had to ask the Lord to help me to not just buy. I cannot go to the store hungry, all right? Anyone else like that? Like, game on. But it does make for a wonderful pantry. If I had $20 left in my bank account, I'm going to the store and I'm buying food. Okay, that's who I am. That is what I look like. So when you come to my house, you're going to have an array of food. Whatever it is in your pantry, in the pantry of your life, that's what you're going to give out to people. And you'll recognize it. If you're weary, you're going to often give out weariness. If you're battling fear, you're going to walk in fear. If you're angry at life all the time, I don't know if you know it, but everybody else around you knows it. Whatever's in your pantry is what's coming out. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, everyone say Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Man, have you said Holy Ghost this past week? I don't know about you, but I said it about 20 times from Friday night to Saturday morning. Holy Spirit, wake me up. I need you. Holy Ghost. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helped him. Say helper. You have a Holy Ghost helper living and dwelling on the inside of you, your advocate, your standby, your intercessor who gives you power and ability. We have no excuse. No excuse. And the Holy Spirit helped him to fight the temptation of the lust of the flesh. I need Holy Spirit power. So if I share what I'm full of, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus was full of Holy Spirit power, and he was also full of the Word of God. Jesus was full of the Word of God. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word. He is called the Word of Truth. Is the Holy Spirit going to guide you into all truth? Yes. The Holy Spirit will illuminate the very word of Jesus Christ on the inside of you so that in those moments that you don't know what to say or do, the Holy Spirit says, hey, do you remember this word? It's going to rise up like a spring of living water and flow right from your innermost being. Then it's going to splash onto your kids, and it's going to splash onto your husband. It's going to splash onto your coworkers, to your family. Why? He's the word of truth. The truth that we cling to. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never comes to condemn. Man, if I could just stamp that on all of our hands right now. So many of us are walking around in condemnation, beating ourselves up, telling ourselves, you're not a great mom, you're not a great dad, or you missed this, or you missed that. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, I'm going to tell you who you are in Jesus. I'm going to show you how good God is. I'm going to help you. Jesus is your Savior. You've been forgiven. Now, does he convict? Yes. Is it good? Oh, it's so good. Why? Because God is good. God is good. The Holy Spirit never comes to condemn, but to speak the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit always comes to help. He is the comforter, and He will help you through every trial or temptation. In Matthew 4:4, we see all of this. And you know, when Satan, he said, command that these stones become bread. Something that seems so small, yet when being faced with a hunger pain, it isn't small, is it? It might even sound close to the truth. Woo! Are you living in your own truth? Or are you living in the truth of God's Word, led by the power of the Holy Spirit? Man, that's a wake-up call, isn't it? God has a truth for us today. God has a better plan. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of Christ's redemptive plan in our hearts. Jesus spoke the word. He gave us an answer. What did He give us an answer from? God's word to combat the temptation. We know in Hebrews 4:15, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, Jesus was tempted to endure it on our behalf. In James chapter 1, verse 13, the Holy Spirit does not tempt us, okay? So what Satan offered in his suggestion would have made sense to anyone that had been in the wilderness for 40 days, right? There are things that Satan may offer you that make sense to your flesh. This is why we need to know the word of truth, because then the Holy Spirit will come in and say, Jesus has a redemptive plan for your attitude. Jesus has a redemptive plan for your marriage. You see, the Satan will come in and say, it's better for you to just leave your spouse because y'all been fighting all the time. And then the Holy Ghost comes up and gives you a word of truth that says, greater is He that's living in me than he that's in the world. And actually, I'm going to come in and restore your marriage. I just need you to listen to me. This is the word of truth, our source, the power that we cling to. If Jesus spoke the word to Satan, do we need to speak the word to Satan? Absolutely. Do we need to teach our children to speak the word to every temptation and every attack? Absolutely. Why? Because God's got a supernatural plan for your family as well. Jesus used scripture. I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus spoke the word, I'm going to speak the word. And God has a word for every battle that I'm facing today. Did you know that even alone, Jesus wasn't alone? You look at that and you think, oh, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days by himself. Some of us would just freak out being alone for 40 days. But who was with him the whole time? Who? Thank you, Pastor Katie. The Holy Spirit was with him. You guys, we're never alone. As a matter of fact, Jesus was feasting at the Lord's table for 40 days. And he came out of there full of the power and the Holy Ghost, ready to combat. And the word of the Lord that came out, if you just want to know, the scripture that he spoke to Satan comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That was a word Jesus had in his heart. Jesus knew that word. You guys, Jesus is the bread of life. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I need Jesus. I need every word to come in and to stand and to battle and to fight victorious. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Y'all know the Holy Spirit is for all believers. It's such a good gift. He is a good gift. I was feasting at the Lord's table when I was 7 years old in front of my Sunday school teacher, Miss Dorothy C. And she was sharing the word of truth about the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget it. She's sitting right here. I'm sitting right here. And she simply said, who wants to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? And I said, Miss Dorothy, I do. Now, I'd received Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 5 years old. I remember my mom leading me to the Lord in the prayer of salvation, actually in their bedroom at home. So I was saved, a child of God. But I knew I needed help from the Holy Spirit. The moment she started to share about the Holy Ghost, that unction on the inside of me thought, I need power from the Holy Ghost. Did you know that Miss Dorothy C., she was like a grandmother to me at that church. She's with Jesus now, dancing on streets of gold, rejoicing. I'll get to see her someday. She didn't preach me a 10-minute message. She just shared the love of God and said, Anna, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you up and give you power. And when he does, you're going to get a special prayer language. You're going to be able to speak in tongues and pray in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. I said, well, I like that, Miss Dorothy. And she just reached out and grabbed my hand. She said, Holy Spirit, fill her up in Jesus' name. Amen. And I felt that unction from the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. And I began to pray out in other tongues. Holy Spirit doesn't make you pray out. It's like any other language. You got to open your mouth and pray. But it's a heavenly language where you're praying out the mysteries of God. And then what's so cool about it, as you pray, the Holy Spirit, man, he comforts you. He encourages you. There's moments where the Holy Spirit will help you to understand and interpret what you're praying for. So after church that day, I was walking down the street. My dad church planted, and we were at a civic arena in Huntington, West Virginia, and his offices, he's a pastor, were across the street. I remember this clear as day. I'm across the street, and I'm walking, and I was praying in other tongues, going down the street like this. And Dad said, what are you doing? I said, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and if I stop praying, it'll go away. And he said, no, it won't. You can pray anytime. I go, I can pray anytime? He said, you can pray anytime. And I've been praying in the Holy Spirit ever since. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. You know, when we feast, it's not just for us. So I've invited three people to come feast at my table this morning. Jeff and Jade and Kelly, if y'all can make your way up here. Whenever we feast, you guys, I don't know about you, but I like to share what God has given me. If God's invited me to his feasting table, then I too want to invite others to my feasting table. So I've invited my lovely friend Jade. Everyone say hi, Jade. I've invited my lovely friend Kelly. Say hello, Kelly. And I've invited my lovely friend Jeff. Say, hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, I just called you lovely. It is what it is, all right? Okay, now, if we're going to feast at a table together, I made sure that they had nameplates. Why? Because God called out my name. If I'm going to invite someone at my table, I want them to know that they're welcomed and loved, that there's a good word for them. Then you're going to make sure that they have what God's been giving you, that there's a nourishment, that the very thing that the Lord, that I've been feasting on, I can share with them. And then in turn, it's a double conversation, right? So here in a second, I've invited them to share with us what they've been feasting on through the Word of God. But before that, underneath your feast paper, I have given you a gift. All right. So this first gift, Jade, can I see it? This is a book that I've been feasting on. It's called Love is the Way to Victory by Kenneth E. Hagin, and it has blessed me so much. So I'm going to share my feast with you. This is a book for you to feast on. But within that, I got to tell you guys, we all want to know, what's God been sharing in your heart? What is it that you're feasting on, and why? Are you ready?
Lately, I have been feasting on what if, like, what if this doesn't happen? What if I don't make it? What if I'm not good enough? What if this happens? And the Lord showed me from the verse 2 Kings 4, verse 2, the woman who only had one flask of oil. It says, "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all," she says, "except a flask of oil." And God showed me that all I have to do is give him what I have, and he will do the multiplying, the fixing, the healing, the delivering, whatever it is I need. I just have to give him what I have, my full and total surrender.
Praise God. Woo!
So for me, I have found myself in a season of just being easily overwhelmed with just practical things, life things, school, work, the kids, home, everything. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself saying things that you really shouldn't be saying, like, oh, I'm just so frustrated, I'm just so tired all the time. But I've been feasting on my verse from Psalm 119, 37. This is in the Amplified. Turn my eyes away from vanity, all those worldly, meaningless things that distract. Let your priorities be mine, and restore me with renewed energy in your ways.
Praise God.
If I stop hyper-focusing on all of the things that overwhelm me and just turn my attention to his priorities, he gives me everything I need and the energy to get it done.
Amen. Praise God.
For me, I find myself in this season of life making decisions that affect the lives of other people, whether it be my family, at work, you know, big decisions, small decisions, and I wrestle with, God, am I making the right decision, right? It's one thing to make a choice that you're okay with the trade-off because you have control of the impact on yourself, but what about when it affects others? And there's a weight there that I've been wrestling with. The Lord has given me opportunities to make these decisions, and I'm blessed, but the weight of is this your will is heavy. And so for me, I've really been feasting on a similar story we find in the Bible that you can find in Joshua 1:9 that says, this is my command, be strong and be courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I think Joshua found himself in a similar situation, like, but God, like, this is huge, but then his word comes through, and just hanging on to that is what gives me strength and courage as I make these decisions that affect others.
Praise God.
Every day, we have an opportunity to feast at God's table. As a matter of fact, he's prepared a table, a feasting table, right in front of you. Before you, in the very presence of your enemies, there is a table for you to feast at on God's word. And the same when I reached out to each one of these individuals, they were able to say, Pastor Anna, this is the word I'm feasting on. And that same expression, what they're standing on, maybe one of their scriptures resonated in your heart, and you say, oh, well, can I stand on that? Yes. This is what we do. We share food. We share our feast with one another. And then we're able to come together in the body of Christ. Y'all, I share my feasting scriptures with my children, with friends, with family, with whomever I can. Why? Because it's transformed me, and if God did it for me, he'll do it for you. Praise God. If you didn't know this, Trailhead Church is a word church. And we feast at the Lord's table every day, all day, full to overflowing with God's goodness, his mercy, and his grace. What are you feasting on today? Here in a second, we're going to worship. And I invite each of you to worship. I invite each of you to begin to lay the cares and the concerns and just talk to God and tell him how much you love him. But I also invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you a word in season for your life today. And if you say, Pastor Anna, I need some help studying or going through the word of God, we have a whole host of people here that would love to walk through God's word with you. A couple of years ago, Dominic, he reached out to me and he said, Pastor Anna, will you show me how to read my Bible? I said, yes, I will. It's one of my favorite things to do. We met right up in that youth space and walked through what it looked like to study God's word. Guys, we're here to come alongside of you and help you. If you don't have a Bible, we've got lots of Bibles in that prayer room. We want to give you one after service. But in this moment, are we ready to stand and just begin to praise the Lord and feast at the Lord's table together? Let's stand to our feet. I want to thank you guys for coming to my table. And I get to see you next service at this table. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We're just so thankful for who you are. Lord, I thank you for every family, for every individual in this house. Holy Spirit, that there's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for holiness, for truth, that the spirit of faith is rising up this morning, that we combat every lie of Satan with the word of God, that we are so excited. Our teenagers are excited for the things of God. Our children and our students are excited for the things of God. Our college students are excited for the things of God. Every person in this house is receiving with meekness the implanted word of God, transforming our lives. So Lord, we commit this unto you. We're gonna praise you. We're gonna thank you. We're gonna give you glory, honor, and praise. Now I'm here to tell you something. There's someone in here, I don't know who you are, but the Lord already has given you a word. You just need to stand on it and trust that God is working on your behalf. You don't need a new word. He already gave you a word. You cling and hold fast to that word of truth. You hold fast to your confession of faith. Do not waver, because God is seeing you through. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.